Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, buddy.
Hello. Hey, man.
How are you?
I'm good. Look what I'm wearing.
I know. Just noticed that. Yes, ma'am.
For those of you who are listening, I'm wearing the new merch shirt that we have. The Yes, Ma'am shirt.
Yeah.
It's the official Tom Paris, Robbie McNeil, Yes, Ma'am shirt.
Signature quote. Yes.
Signature quote. And we've talked about this before. Someone has compiled almost, I don't know.
Like a whole YouTube video.
Yeah, whole YouTube video of every time you've said yes, ma'am. Or not every, but a lot of times that you've said yes, ma'am. And it's absolutely hilarious. It's amazing. It's just, it's a fun watch. Even though you're saying the same thing over and over again, it's worth a watch, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's another YouTube video that's got some kind of.
Yeah.
Some kind of, it's some kind of nebula. Yeah. Some kind of, I love that video.
Captain, it's some sort of anomaly. And the funny thing is that video has been out for a while, but with the first time I saw it, I was shocked. I could not believe how many times that we said that. Like this was never on my radar. You know what I'm saying? And probably never for you either, right? And it's not just Voyager. It's TNG, DS9. All of us say that over and over again. Never really knew it. Never knew about it.
It's funny. Yeah. That's funny. All right. How's everything else? You got the t-shirt. That's nice.
Yeah, I got the t-shirt on.
Love the Tom Paris Yes Ma'am shirt. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And going to be shipping all that merch over to Vancouver.
The fun part about merchandise with our Delta Flyers store is you and I travel a lot.
Yes.
And so there's no like physical store. We are the store. The store moves from Canada to Utah to Vegas to Georgia to all over the place. So
it does. All right. This week.
Yes. What is this week?
This week is Random Thoughts.
Okay.
Yes. The episode that's so popular with random flight members. Remember we talked about that.
Exactly. Yes. This is Random Flight International Fan Club's favorite episode.
Favorite episode, Random Thoughts. Okay. So let's go watch this episode and let us come back and discuss. Robbie and I are back from watching Random Thoughts.
Yes, we are. Random Thoughts. It's actually a perfect title for this episode.
It really is. Let us start with our poetry synopsis.
Here we go. So let's start with the haiku.
Yeah, let's go with the haiku
elegant
first.
Simple haiku.
Yes, the simple, easy to come up with most of the time haiku. Yes. Here we go. My haiku for Random Thoughts. Torres in trouble. Engrammatic purge needed. Tuvok saves the day.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, good.
I like that. That's clean. It's very clean. Concise.
It says it all.
Mine's a little more cryptic.
Okay.
Hopefully funny.
Let's
maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
What percentage is McNeil? What percentage is male McNeil?
I'm never going to specify. Female McNeil. I'm never going to specify. It's never going to specify. Okay. Here we go with our limerick. This alien planet looks just like the one before. B'Elanna's thoughts are not her own to explore. What's that musky smell? Violent thoughts we must expel. When you take it away, they only want it more.
Okay, see, I already know this is Rebecca because she included Neelix with the musky smell. And she loves Johnny Phillips and Neelix.
Yes,
hence,
she does.
See, I'm being the investigator here. I'm being Tuvok right now.
Okay.
And I have basically put things together, and I now know that this is a Rebecca-driven limerick because she included Johnny Ethan Phillips. Because there's no reason to have the musky smell line in there. No, but because how much she loves the actor who played That's Neelix. True.
Therefore, well, also I was doing the whole smelling, sniffing around him bit. So yeah, I made, you know, did. I made a bit of a thing about that when we were watching it. So.
You did.
There we go with our poetry. This episode, Random Thoughts, was written by Ken Biller, directed by the
Alex Singer,
lovable Alex Singer.
Alex Singer.
Yes.
Yeah. We love Alex.
I feel like when I saw that Ken had written this episode, I was like, boy, he writes a lot of the B'Elanna episodes.
He does, didn't he?
I feel like Ken definitely connected with her character for whatever reason. He wrote a lot of those episodes. I think a lot of the writers had characters that they kind of were possessive of, like Jeri Taylor was the Janeway writer. Like she really, you know, Jeri Taylor loved Janeway I don't know for Harry or Tom, who I would say our writers were. I think Lisa Klink really liked Tom Paris for some reason. I really do. And maybe Brandon a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But definitely Ken and B'Elanna Torres are connected.
Yes, for sure. A lot.
Yeah. Agreed.
And Alex did his thing. We had some wonderful guest stars. Gwyneth Walsh plays Namira.
Yes.
Gwyneth is originally from Canada.
Oh, Canadian.
Yeah. Okay. And she had done quite a few other Star Trek shows. In fact, a lot of fans may have met her at conventions because she's very involved in the convention circuit.
Yes. Did she play the Klingon?
She did. Yes,
that's
Betor, which is the Klingon Duras sister, Betor.
Lursa and Betor. She played Betor. Yes.
In TNG's Redemption, Redemption 2, and Firstborn episodes.
There you go.
She also portrayed Betor in DS9.
Yes.
First season episode, Past Prologue, and in Star Trek Generations movie.
She's a fan favorite. I mean, those characters, especially in the feature films, people love those. There you go. I did not make that connection. So thank you for that. Anyone else?
She was from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, raised in Vancouver. Oh, she's from Manitoba. Wayne Perret, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Wayne Perret.
Perret. Also French? I mean, also Canadian? Maybe French Canadian?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. No, he's from Louisiana.
Actually. All right. Oh, he's
from Louisiana. He played Will. And he has an interesting background. He's done a ton of shows. But here's some interesting stuff that he worked with Lori Petty on Alien Nation. Lori Petty was on our show. Yeah. He did Total Security in 1997 with Rebecca McFarlane, who was in this episode.
What? On Voyager?
He did Spy Game in 1998, directed by Rick Colby. He was in Profiler in 1998 with Alicia Coppola, who was also on our show. Oh, he did Third Rock with the Sun in 1998 with Jim Beaver, who was my neighbor.
Beaver was your neighbor?
Yes, he was. He lived in
Do you know Jim Beaver was the reason why I met Megan? Do you know this story?
No. Uh-uh.
Keely wanted to meet Jim Beaver. Jim Beaver was on Supernatural. Jim Beaver was going to be at Edmonton Comic Con. Edmonton is not Calgary, clearly, but because Keely wanted to meet Jim Beaver, Megan drove with Keely to Edmonton Comic Con, which is was at. I waved at Megan and Keely because little Keely was dressed as Harley Quinn. She was 5 at the time. Uh-huh. And I thought, what a cute little Harlequin. And I said, what a cute mom of the Harlequin. So I waved at them, but they didn't come up to my table. And 2 weeks later, Megan tweeted saying, I'm not sure if you were trying to wave at me or somebody else, but I was the one with my daughter the dressed as Harlequin. Yeah. And so that's how it all began because of Jim Beaver, your neighbor. That's funny. So weird. Jim Beaver. Small world.
Okay. So this actor also did the TV movie Pirates of Silicon Valley, which featured Kitty Swank, Armin Shimerman's wife, and Alex Enberg was in that as well. So there's a lot of tons of connections.
Small world.
The Magicians he was on with Rick Worthy.
Is Wayne Perret playing Gwil in this?
Yes, he plays Gwil.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Rebecca McFarlane, does she play Tally?
Here's the funny thing. I did look up all these actors and I kept looking at Rebecca McFarlane going, I feel like I know her. She's married to my friend, the director, Jason Ensler. And I didn't put that together until after I watched this episode.
God, small world.
Yeah. She's married to Jason Ensler.
Yeah. Does she play Tally, the marketplace gal? Is that right?
The blonde? Yes. Yes. Okay. She sure does. Yeah, I didn't see a lot of Star Trek connections with her. She did do a show called Maximum Bob with Liz Vassy, who was in one of my short films, 9mm of Love.
Yeah.
So she worked with...
I remember Liz, yes.
Liz Vassy. Oh, she did Ghost Whisperer. Armin Kevorkian, who was one of our post guys, had worked on Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah.
And so did, I'm going to say maybe Ron Moore or somebody... Some of our Star Trek crew worked on Ghost Whisperer. So anyway, all of our guest stars here have multiple connections to other Star Trek.
Connected.
Family friends.
Before we get in the plot, let me just ask you, 1 to 10, what are you going to rate this guy?
I'm going to give this a 6 out of 10. This is...
You're going to give it a 6er?
I like the concept. I thought all of our actors did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something about it didn't feel... as dynamic or compelling as some of our other episodes.
Yeah.
It felt like a really cool idea,
yeah,
but it felt more like an intellectual exercise to me than a emotionally engaging episode, if that makes sense. So
yeah. And I'm going to give it, I'll give it a 6.5. I'm going to go a little bit higher than you. And I feel about the same thing that you're feeling as well. So
it was okay. It was all right. Yeah. So we find ourselves orbiting the Minari homeworld.
It's actually the Mari. The Mari.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't write it down here, but the Mari homeworld.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And we hear in Janeway's log, captain's log, that this is a species of telepaths.
Right.
And the very first scene is Paris in the transporter room with a box in his hand. And Neelix is like, oh, what are you bringing back? And Paris doesn't want to say some sort of surprise, which we never find out, I don't think. Do we?
I think there. No, we don't. But what I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
What do you think was in that box?
Well, since I didn't say anything to Neelix, it had to be something kind of intimate.
That's what I thought.
So we're talking and Neelix says he's going down to meet. There's so many beautiful ladies down there. Yeah. And Paris starts sniffing. He's like, what is that smell? And I love this. I sort of walked around the room and then I realized it's Neelix.
Neelix.
I said, well, what is that smell? He says, it's musk.
Telchuk musk, actually.
Telchuk musk.
Almost like Telchuk. Chuck, the show that you directed and produced.
Yeah.
Telchuk musk.
And he says, too bad, you know, he basically says to Paris, like, too bad you're committed now because there's so many beautiful women. And Paris has a line where he says, are you really trying to depress me? And I got to say, I didn't line.
I know. Are you going back to the smooth talker guy again? Or what's happening?
It felt like a line. I wish I had said something because it just was like it rang very. I didn't like it. So
I hear you. That's fine. But the cool thing is we now know that Neelix has a new love interest. And it's Tali, one of these aliens, the Mari aliens down in the marketplace. She's a vendor.
Yep.
So it's kind of nice to see that Neelix has new love in his life, you know, after the departure of Kes.
How long have we been at this planet, do you think?
I would say at least 24.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay, good.
I mean, you think 24 hours? I thought
we had been there like 24 hours or something.
Oh, no.
Because one of the issues I had was Neelix seemed to be very intimately invested with Tali.
Yes.
In this story in a way that I thought, how did he develop such a emotional bond so quickly? I didn't know if I bought that. But if you think it's been a week,
I think
maybe
it's been
that
a while.
That helps me a little because I was like, this is
really or maybe by osmosis he's taken on the Harry Kim sort of fall in love very quickly.
Fall hard.
fall hard and fast. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we go down to the marketplace. I gotta say, this alien town, this alien marketplace set, my first response was, oh, we've seen this set before. Like, I feel like we've reused this set just one too many times, you know, with a little different paint or a little different stairway here or there. But immediately I thought, oh, we're recycling this alien planet in a way that just, I wish we had come up with something cooler for this marketplace. But that was my first thought.
I hear that too. I had the minute we see that scene in the marketplace, I thought about a couple things. The one episode, we were sequestered in that one environment, and then you and Torres escaped to the cold environment. You remember that one? There's all those different environments. So the main room where all the Voyager crew are kind of put in, that reminded me of that place, as well as the season one episode, Prime Factors, when we arrived to the Pleasure Planet people. That marketplace was very similar to this one.
I feel like this is a set they sort of pull out whenever we're in the generic alien planet marketplace. We whip out the same, you know, walls and stairs, and I don't know. Yeah. That's for some reason it doesn't always bug me, but this time it did.
It did a little bit. Yeah. I felt like there were more levels. I mean, there have been multiple levels in the prior sets, but this one looked like there were even more levels.
So yeah, it did.
That set it apart.
That helped a little bit for sure. Yeah. But we see Janeway and B'Elanna trying to buy some supplies from a salesman in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And the man reads Janeway's mind, you know, they're haggling over a price. And he's like, well, I think you're willing to spend up to this amount. And
300 rens. That's what he said. Yeah.
And Janeway pretends that she can read his mind. She sort of plays along with, I think I read that you're wanting to sell it to me or something. Yes. It was clever. It was very sweet.
It was
fun. Mm-hmm. And then somebody bumps into B'Elanna and she sort of really gets mad for a second.
She's pissed off.
She's pissed off for a second, but then she calms down. It's a classic B'Elanna reaction, but you think it's just not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then this guy Gwil comes out and he's very concerned and he sort of holds her arms. And I don't know, I was getting a little jealous as the Tom Paris boyfriend. I was like, let go of my girlfriend's arms here. You're looking a little too creepily into her eyes. It was an odd moment, which will come back and pay off later on.
Of course.
Why he did that. But at this point in watching it, I was like, it stuck out to me as a weird moment.
Yeah.
We go over to Neelix and he is flirting like crazy with Tally. They're talking about some plums or something. And then she goes, wait a minute, why do you want me to tug on your whiskers? I laughed out loud.
Have we visited this topic before?
No.
Do we know anything about? No, this is the first time, isn't it? That this is a Talaxian foreplay thing, evidently, right?
Tugging on the whiskers,
which I think they brought about this idea because of maybe with Ferengi tugging on the earlobes.
Oh, and the ears.
Is a sexual thing, yes. And so I think, you know, the writer was like, hey, let's tug on some his whiskers, you know, it's kind of
interesting.
Yeah, that's what I got from that. So
but it was a sweet scene, and so that sort of establishes, you know, that Neelix the relationship that's kind of starting to grow there. Yep. And then we go to Tuvok and Namiri, the examiner, the security officer, basically
constable
from this planet, and they're on sort of a walk and talk. And I noticed in this scene, as they walked around this recycled town set, that the whole thing was looped. Did you notice this?
No, really?
It was looped hard. And I was just like, oh. In fact, I'll say in this episode, there was a lot of looping, more than normal, that I noticed. And that could have been one of the reasons I felt a little disconnected, because
really,
yeah, whenever you loop a scene, especially when you really dig in and loop the whole scene, there's something in the experience as you watch it. There's something that's just a little off. Doesn't feel quite right.
And part of that is, you know, the looping, the voiceover happens way after months. The principal photography. We're talking about, months later.
Yep.
And so it's difficult for actors to capture that exact mood and the pacing and the cadence of that day.
Yeah. And usually you come in and there's pages of dialogue that you're looping, and there's a schedule. They're like 45 minutes. The next one's coming
through
in.
This. Yeah. So you're under the gun, right? So you can't give it your 100% attention and focus. Yeah. So there's always going to be that little smidgen of offness that you feel. Okay. I didn't particularly notice it, but you did. So that's a big thing. I have one question for you. Did this come into your mind when she started speaking telepathically with Tuvok? Did you start to think, is the universal translator that complex and that advanced?
I didn't even think of it, but you're absolutely right.
That
they should not be able to talk telepathically.
No. No,
good catch.
Universal Translator only works by sound, by voice. It listens to what's being said, not telepathically, but with your mouth, right? So this is a little bit of a hole in the plot here, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Good catch.
Thank you.
But they're talking about crime prevention. They both are really, and Tuvok is kind of, flirting is probably an exaggeration, but you do sense a bit that he's
in his connecting. World, that's flirt. Yes. Yeah. For sure.
And she's going to come follow his daily security rounds.
Yep. Yep.
And suddenly they hear a noise in the marketplace and they run off and there's a fight going on, like a hard fight. This guy is smashing the other guy with like vases or something.
Yeah. Pottery, right?
Pottery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Janeway and B'Elanna rush over and they break it up. I think Janeway asks him, you know, why were you doing this? And he says, I don't know.
Yeah.
Clueless. And he doesn't know why. And one thing that came to mind as I watched the scene is a lot of times when you have scenes like this where there's a fight or something with some characters and they don't have a lot of dialogue, you'll cast a stunt actor for that sequence because you don't want to cast an actor and then have to double them for the fight and, you know, get wigs or, you know, that's lookalikes and everything. So you cast a stunt actor, but often this is not a jab at our stunt brothers and sisters, but often they're not the greatest actors. They're they're there to be stunt people and they know how to fall and fight and do all that stuff, but nuanced dialogue. And this is a moment where I was like, when he spoke, I was like, oh yeah, this was a stunt actor for sure. they cast a stunt guy. Cause it was just like, I don't know why. I don't know. It was a little stiff. It was a little like meatheady, a little. It totally worked. You know,
it's a one-liner. It's fine.
It was the stunt guy. It was the stunt casting.
It's a stunt guy for sure.
Yes.
Now, while this is going on, Tuvok is up in the corridors on Voyager explaining to Chief Examiner Namira why the brig is there. Why do we have a brig? You know. Mm-hmm. So while this is going on, there's an interruption, and Kim, now you see Harry for the first time. He says, bridge to Commander Tuvok, Chief Examiner Namira has been recalled to the surface. And here we have that line. There's been some sort of attack in the marketplace. So the some sort of line that we hear, some kind of, that we talked about in the intro, we have one right here, and Harry has it. And my voice, I wrote a note, a quick little note. It sounds like I had a head cold. That day when we were
filming. I wonder if you looped it. Honestly, there was tons of looping in this episode. I don't know why.
Yeah, I could have looped it and I could have been sick when I was looping. You know, I could have had the remnants of a cold then. So that's my note on that one.
Before we come back into Voyager from the planet, there's a ship shot outside in space.
Yeah.
And I noticed that it was a CGI ship instead of our model shots.
Correct.
It was CG and it was kind of close. And I have to say it looked like, you know, this is back when CG was not as good as it is now.
Right.
And I prefer the models. I prefer the live models flying by. They look great.
Yes.
This particular space shot pulled me out a little because I was like, oh, it feels a little cartoony.
Yeah.
But the reason they started using CGI ships is because they had only shot, when we did the pilot, they shot their library of shots for the model. And the model is big. It's like a, you know, 8 or 10 foot. Model is huge. And they go in for a couple of days and they do different, you know, start the camera on the front of the model and go to the back, go underneath. They do a handful, so maybe they have a dozen flybys of the ship
that
they use over and over and over with different backgrounds.
Correct.
I think this is probably at the point where they were like, yeah, we got to start using the CG version because we've used those model shots a lot.
Yeah, so many times that we need something new, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the quality of CGI was not up to par as it is today. So it's definitely obviously CGI. And it does pull you out a little bit, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we're now in the marketplace and we have Tuvok, Torres, Janeway, Neelix, and Chief Examiner Namira. And she says, you know, listen, this is just standard procedure. I need to question all of you about what happened. Follow me to the questioning or the interview room. And there they go. And Janeway Torres and Neelix are being questioned by Namira. Mm-hmm. And clearly, you know, this is just a general interview, right? It's nothing really charged.
It starts off pretty basic. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that it was sort of scripted and played as a montage a little
Correct.
Bit. That,
yes. Like a montage with actual dialogue.
Though, yeah. Right? Yeah. So like Janeway would answer questions, then you go back mm-hmm. to the investigator, and then all of a sudden B'Elanna's in the chair and another question, then Neelix is in the chair, and it would jump back and forth as the story sort of built towards, you know, B'Elanna, mm-hmm. her memory of a quick thought of a fantasy of hitting him. But right. I thought that montage approach was unusual for our show. We don't normally do that sort of stylized, you know, jumping back and forth between people in the same moment, or it right. felt a little more stylized than we normally do, which I thought was interesting of Ken Biller to write it that way.
Yes. And that's definitely a Biller issue, a Biller thing, as opposed to a director. Alex Singer didn't direct it that way. It was written that way.
It was definitely written that way, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yep.
By the way, Neelix remembers with Tally the whiskers being pulled, and we see that for a moment with him. Oh, it was a silly shot. And then we get to B'Elanna, and what was she thinking? And she had a fantasy, a thought for a moment that she hit this guy and bumped into her.
Yeah.
And as soon as she remembers that violent thought, she is arrested and charged with aggravated violent thought resulting in grave bodily harm. That is an actual crime.
Yeah, that's
crazy. That's the charge.
Mm-hmm.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And the only solution for that is to go through an engrammatic purge to remove the offending images from the mind, which is basically a advanced way of saying a lobotomy. Is what's going to happen. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Janeway asks if they can delay this procedure and give her time to look at the evidence. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really interesting that Janeway is very respectful of these laws, even though they seem crazy.
Yep.
But they're trying to work with this species and with their laws and the people there. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
We go to the transporter room and Paris is waiting for Janeway. Mm-hmm. And this is another scene that was looped. This walk and talk down the hallway.
Oh yeah. Down the
was
corridor.
Totally looped. It just sort of made it less, less
impactful
than I think it could have been.
Yeah.
I agree. Probably the reason they looped it is because we were on a walk and talk. You heard the footsteps or maybe the dolly wheel squeaking or who knows what noises that we heard, so that we had to loop the whole scene.
Right.
And we go to the bridge now, and Harry says everybody's coming back
yeah, from the planet. All crew have been called back to the ship, and Paris, yep. Paris shows up and he pleads his case with Chakotay. We mm-hmm. have to go rescue her. These guys are pacifists. And it was like, are you saying that we should go down and kill everybody? I mean, it was kind of like, why?
I was.
Why is Paris let's go kill everybody. These... Yeah. Let's attack these people.
He's like, yes. We could do it. We could easily take her back. Like, it's not a problem. And by the way,
you sit in the captain's chair for the very first time.
Very first time.
You even ask. You're like, can I sit here? It was so interesting.
It was kind of an odd scene to be placed on the bridge, I got to be honest.
Definitely.
You know, I'm sort of pitching this, like, let's attack these people right on the bridge.
Yeah.
And the conversation we were having seemed strange to be having in a public place like that. It just...
Yeah. Or if they... Okay, you remember, Chakotay is up at my station, right? So maybe instead of having him cross down to the captain's chair, maybe it would have been better for him to cross on the upper area past the turbo lift when you come in. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And then you grab him there and you guys have that conversation by the door, you know, instead of right in the middle of the bridge.
I'm sure they had these lines written about the captain's chair. Cause at the end he's like, and just cause you sat in that chair.
That's right.
So I'm sure it was written that way. It just was a hard place to play the scene.
Yeah.
Cause I couldn't be, neither of us could get too emotional or too wound up in this public place on the bridge. Right. So it just became this sort of half quiet, but clearly, we're not going to hide the fact that we're talking. No. We're 10 feet away from each other.
No, so. It was awkward. The other thing I noticed, I don't know if you saw this, but when you guys are now sitting down having that conversation, you have a close-up on Chakotay. He says a few things, and then you have the reverse on you, on Paris, and you're out of focus. And I was like, wait a minute. And I rewound it again, and I played it again, and I said, no, he's clearly out of focus, unless this was like a glamour filter that Marvin rushed through on you, which he wouldn't do for the boys, right?
It was out of focus.
Yeah, sure. So it was just not clear, and I was thinking,
back then we shot film, and so you wouldn't see it till the next day after the film had been developed.
Correct.
So we probably moved on, and they
just missed it.
They could try to fix that a little bit in post. Mm. They could try to sharpen it a little.
Yeah.
If it was, you know, if they were able to do it, sometimes they could, but.
Right.
But.
And not to criticize our camera crew. I think for the most part, they did a great job, but every now and then, like you said, because it's on film, if it's a little bit out of focus, you don't know until dailies are printed up for the next day. Yeah. You have no clue. Right.
Yeah.
Janeway's ready room. Tuvok and Janeway are now reviewing the case against.
They're looking at pads. Torres. They're sitting at her desk. Janeway's behind the desk. He's on the other side. They're leaning forward. And I made a note. Why are they so close to each other?
So close.
Like their arms were all, their pads were almost overlapping.
Yeah.
They were in each other's personal space.
Right. And I did a video reaction of that. I said it was reminiscent of when a couple is drinking out of a champagne flute and they entwine their arms like that and they each drink out. You know what I'm saying? And it was almost it was very odd. So close. Yeah.
And it reminded me of often when, you know, when an actor has a prop and you're kind of lining up the close up or the tighter shot.
Yep.
And, you know, they'll ask the actor, they'll say, hey, can you lift that prop up a little higher so we see it?
Yeah. Instead of the camera. Yeah.
And it felt like they had asked both of them, hey, can you lift those pads up to an awkwardly close and high position?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just so we can see it. But it didn't really make sense.
And that has happened. That's happened more than once where we will be given the command or we will be asked as actors to unnaturally turn our bodies or hold a prop where normally we would never hold it in that way, or we would never turn our body in that way, but it's all for camera, all to look better on camera. I agree.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward,
but they go through the evidence in this scene and they do see something. We don't know what yet, but they see something.
Yes. I just want to quickly jump in and add, I love Tuvok's line when he's trying to describe Torres's temper. He calls it Lieutenant Torres's violent proclivities. And it's like such a Vulcan way of describing a bad temper, right? Yes. So, all right.
Okay, so then we go to Tuvok is talking to Namira, and he explains that they've discovered that Frayn, the guy that initiated this fight based on supposedly on B'Elanna's violent thought, He had four previous arrests. He's got a history, basically.
Yeah.
And she starts taking it very personally. Like, she's a bit triggered in this scene. She's like,
she is.
Wait, are you investigating me? She gets kind of emotional and says, this case is closed.
Yeah. We're not in Janeway's ready room right now, though, right? We're in the briefing room. We're in the briefing room.
I think we're in the briefing room. Yeah, we've gone from from the ready room with Janeway to the briefing room with just Tuvok and Namira. But you can see she's like, I thought you'd understand. They both start. She starts getting a little emotional, taking it a little personally.
It's like this person, their relationship, right? Their courtship is now
turning. Yeah, you're seeing some a romance that's underneath all of this. We go back down to the planet. Neelix is talking about telepathy. He says, telepathy, I don't like it. I never have. It's bad for negotiations, bad for relationships. I love that. I love Neelix's delivery on that.
Yeah, and he's talking to Seven. He's talking to Seven.
Yes, he's talking to Seven. And Seven says it's B'Elanna's fault then. She was careless with her thoughts.
Right.
And Seven even says then her crime was ignorant. Seven says it was B'Elanna's fault. She was careless. Yeah. And Neelix is like, that's not her fault. Like, she didn't know that having a bad thought would get her in trouble here. And then Seven says, well, then her crime was ignorance, a common affliction among your crew. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What? That's rude.
It is rude, but I love this scene because Neelix is typically always happy, cheery, rainbows, right? And then now he's listening to Seven and he's pissed. And it's really awesome to see that Neelix, has a bit of a backbone. He's not spineless, right? And he's going to stand up for everybody on the crew and sort of debate Seven, which I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that interaction.
I did too. Seven continues saying that, Voyager makes contact with alien species without knowing enough ahead of time. And that leads to conflict.
Yeah.
That it's ignorance. And if the goal is to share knowledge, then assimilation is the perfect means of attaining that goal. She's basically like, look, Borg do it better than you guys.
Right.
You guys just dive in. You don't know enough about these people. You end up in conflict. We just assimilate them. Yeah. And then we've shared our knowledge and they've shared theirs. sounds simple, Seven.
Yes. Oh, then we get over to a little quick scene with Tally when an old lady comes over to buy some produce and Tally drops something and the old lady freaks out saying she's an idiot and pulls a knife and ends up stabbing her. And now she's dead. Neelix runs over and he's the one that makes the announcement that she's passed. And, that was shocking to me.
Shocking.
I don't remember this at all. No. So I was like, what? She's dead? So tough turn of events for Tally.
Yeah. And we go back to the ship. Tuvok and Neelix are walking down the hall and Neelix is filling him in on what happened. And he tells
him looped? Do you think that was looped as well?
I think that was looped as well. Okay. And I think that they were walking so slowly. Like, I was like, why are they even doing this in the hall? Wouldn't they go sit somewhere?
Of course.
And then they're walking super slow because we only had a certain length of corridor. And so they didn't want to run out of set. So they just made the actors walk slowly, but it just seems strange.
Yeah. And the looping makes sense because I feel that Neelix should have had a little bit more of shell shockedness going on because this is somebody he's so into.
Yeah.
And now she's gone. You know what I'm saying? And so maybe the looping or the voiceover basically kind of changed it so that he wasn't as shell shocked. It just seemed much more casual. It was like, I can't believe she's dead. And it was just like, okay, let's keep walking and talking. It's a little too casual for me on that.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
What happens next?
Briefing room, Tuvok and Chief Examiner Namira. Yeah. And she's now there to ask Tuvok for his help because she's feeling a bit overwhelmed. Now she has to deal with a murder case that she's never dealt with before. And she just, she's afraid that this random thought is going to be infecting everybody on the Mari homeworld, that everyone's going to start going into chaos and just, beating people up. So she needs Tuvok to help her. And again, their relationship continues. It's sort of they have the argument and now she's like, now I'm back with you again. Throughout this episode, we see little bits of this relationship that Tuvok has with Namira, which is very interesting. Let's see. Now they're in the Mari interview room, and
yeah, Tuvok in
is
there.
Yes, he's mind melding,
and he's mind melding with
Torres.
Yes,
your honey buns.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I thought this set was super cool. They had these tubes on the wall.
Yes, I saw that.
And they put lights in them, and I just thought that was cool. I felt like it was a very simple, probably not expensive trick, but it felt just cool and graphic and.
They MacGyvered it, you know, so
they MacGyvered it. Tuvok asks about Mr. Gwil, and B'Elanna said he was kind of creepy. He held her shoulders. He wanted something. Mm-hmm. She starts to have this memory. She says he wanted something, something terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get the sense that there was something creepy in that first scene when I was like, that's weird. He's holding her shoulders a little too long. He's looking in her eyes a little too long. Well, that's clearly something else was happening in that moment because she felt it too.
Yeah.
She wanted something terrible.
So Tuvok runs away and tries to find Gwil, and miraculously, random thoughts, random location, you know, they find Gwil walking down some stairs. Basically.
Yes, he just finds him on this tiny little market set.
Market set, you know, off in the side.
He says he's got children, has to get home to his table. He's a bit late. But he agrees to answer some questions. And then he asks Tuvok, he says, are you a telepath? And because he knows he can immediately
sense it.
And he's hearing thoughts. And he says, ultimately, he says that he can see that Vulcans have very deep, dark thoughts.
Yes.
And he is clearly fascinated with this dark, unconscious side of the mind. Yeah, he was creepy to me. He's just like serial killer, kind of creepy.
Oh my goodness. You know who he looks like? He looks a lot like the guy in the episode where, I guess it was, we just reviewed this. This is the episode where we come across the hologram that has murdered all the crew.
Oh yeah.
And the very first scene is the one last crew member that is leaned up against the bulkhead dead, and he pulls him and the blood is down on the wall. That's who Gwil looks like. Gwil looks like that guy, the background guy, right? Okay.
Yeah. So they talk for a bit, but you know, Tuvok doesn't get much more information. No. He says he's got to get home to his table, and so he leaves, and Tuvok follows him. So we have this little private eye moment. He's heading down some alleys, some dark alleys.
Yeah.
Mr. Gwil gets into this doorway and ends up making what feels like a drug deal. He's like,
he
gets 3,000 rens.
And yeah.
He looks at the money. And then ultimately he catches Tuvok and he's like, why are you following me?
Yeah.
And Tuvok offers to trade violent thoughts.
He strikes a deal.
I think you and I are looking for the same thing. I'll trade you some of my violent thoughts.
Right.
And Gwil says, okay, we'll get rid of that communicator and I'll meet you later.
Yeah.
So we see Tuvok toss his communicator on the ground. You realize, uh-oh, he's on his own.
Right.
He's going into this dangerous situation. So yeah, we come back into the show with this kind of montage, this violent montage.
Yeah.
And we realize that Tuvok is they're mind melding. And
the mind meld doesn't happen just yet because Gwil is sort of like touching some of the image, touching Tuvok.
It's like Tuvok's not Gwil touching. Gwil is like taking in Tuvok's dark thoughts first.
That's right. And then Tuvok, through his questioning and line of reasoning, he basically says, okay, now I know what you're doing. I'm taking you into custody. And as he's taking him into custody to take him to Namira, that's when Gwil's associates, let's just say, show up and they jump him. And then Gwil they beat the Vulcan poop out of Tuvok.
And in that scene, before Tuvok gets beat up, Gwil does admit, he says, sometimes he buys these dark memories. Sometimes he shares them with people.
Right.
And sometimes, like with B'Elanna, he just takes what he wants.
Yeah, he just took it from B'Elanna. Straight from your lady.
Yeah.
And then now we're in the purge room, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the same room as the interrogation room, the interview room. I'm not sure. But this is she's in the chair. The device is now is turned on by Namira and her associates, and now Torres is going through the beginnings of this engrammatic purge, which, you know, is not a good thing for Torres. We got to get her out of there. And then we flash back, we jump back, excuse me, to a Tuvok. Scene where, yeah, Tuvok and Gwil.
Tuvok's in the alley.
Right. And somewhere. He's like, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to let you see everything. And as Gwil is touching Tuvok's head, and he's like, oh, I love it. This is great. This is what I want. And then Tuvok quickly grabs him, his face, and starts to mind meld with him. And mm-hmm. and he's like, you know, don't, this is what you want. Don't be alarmed, you know, just... And then now yeah, Tuvok's in control.
Mind melds his yeah. most violent fantasies. Yes. They're locked in this mind meld, and Tuvok is basically killing him telepathically.
In the mind meld, which in, I thought, I didn't know he could.
Inside the mind meld, which was do that. Happening. Yeah, so it's yeah. that's another
yeah.
example of how these random thoughts, these
right.
deep, dark thoughts can...
Yeah.
if you go deep enough, can really affect you.
Yeah, because
physically it, affect you.
In the meld, he strangles him to the point where he's unconscious. He's yep. just, he's out, right?
We go over to the purge is just about to conclude when mm-hmm. Janeway stops it.
She's no, like, not about to conclude. The main part's about to happen.
The main okay? part's yeah. about to happen. They've just, you know, kind of gotten it started. And
Janeway and so, interrupts.
Yeah, yep. Janeway interrupts. Mm-hmm. We've got new evidence. New information.
Yeah.
We cut to the yeah. transporter room. Tuvok brings Gwil onto the ship. He's a prisoner now. Man. He's being detained. We go to the briefing room and Tuvok yeah. explains that Gwil conspired with Frayn mm-hmm. to provoke a violent thought in B'Elanna.
Right.
And they
so that he could extract it, right?
He could extract mm-hmm. it, but they underestimated B'Elanna's thoughts, basically. They didn't know that mm-hmm. this was a half Klingon.
Right.
that they were provoking.
Right. And they explain to Namira that there's a huge underground black market in yeah. violent thoughts and violent images. And this is news to Namira. Namira has no clue this is going on. She's shocked yeah. by the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
This underground market. Mm-hmm. And that they basically say outlawing this dark stuff doesn't make it go away. It just forces yeah. it underground.
Right.
And you've got a much more serious problem than just this one random violent thought that mm-hmm. you were pursuing.
Yeah.
And then we go to sick bay. B'Elanna's now back on our ship. She seems fine. It was a very small extraction, the doctor right. said. You should be, you know, totally fine.
Okay. Yeah.
And Tuvok and B'Elanna take a little walk and talk. And I just thought it was funny because I felt like you saw the most Klingon out of Roxanne in this little walk and talk that I'd seen in a long time.
Okay.
It felt like B'Elanna had sort of mellowed quite a bit, and then all yeah. of a sudden in this walk and talk she
it
was
came,
like
it came out
you saw that yeah. Klingon coming out on this walk
fire
and talk.
Yeah,
he offers to help her with her self-control.
Yeah,
and we sort of go out on that. We don't really know whether she wants to what does she say? She says something like, oh, thanks a lot or something.
Well, because the way he said it, right? Tuvok was like, you know, in fact, it is a wonder that you've been able to control your, you know, and she's yes. like, oh, well, thanks, I guess. But it was still yes. a nice, I like
it. It was like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. Correct. But it's still, it was a nice interaction between Tuvok and Torres. Another combo.
Which that we don't see. I loved it. I thought it was a yeah. lot of fun. Yeah. We go to Janeway's ready room and Seven pops in.
Not only she barges in. She barges pop in. She doesn't even ring the doorbell. She doesn't even say, it's me. Yeah. She just runs in, right?
She runs in. Yeah. And Janeway, by the way, has her lucky cup in her hand. Did you notice that?
Is that the one that broke?
The one that broke, but since the
it's not broken because the timeline got reset.
Timeline got reset.
Very
so she's
smart.
Got her lucky cup back.
Yep. Nice.
Seven says, you know, you've got these two objectives that are incompatible. You've got mm-hmm. exploration of, you know, new places, new planets and people, but mm-hmm. you've also got this objective of trying to get home, and they're in conflict. They're incompatible.
Because you're putting yourself at risk every time you explore a new world or a new society or culture. And why don't you just avoid everybody and just make a beeline for home? And Janeway is like, but that's not who we are.
That's not
we are explorers. This is what Starfleet's all about. It's about to gain knowledge for us to know more about the universe. You know, curiosity is a huge part of Starfleet.
Yeah. And with that, basically they leave it with like, well, we'll have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And Seven walks out
and
the door slams and Janeway goes dismissed. Because she didn't ask to come in.
Yeah, she didn't wait to be dismissed. Either.
She just did her own thing. I loved Kate's expression there at the end when she said, oh, okay, dismissed.
Yeah, so nice little comedic interchange at the very end, that written by Ken Biller there. Yes. So we like that one. Okay. Yeah.
What was your theme? What was your lesson on this?
You know, I think the lesson is that, you know, as human beings, we are made of both light and dark. Mm-hmm. I think we all have those traits in us. Like, nobody is completely light and nobody is completely dark. Everybody is a combination of the two.
Yeah.
And you have to learn to accept that and deal with it that way. And if you push things down, that's when the problems happen. You know, when you try to eliminate one entirely. So I think the lesson there is just the acceptance of the fact that we have light and dark in all of us. And and that it is our job to control those, right? So you have to have some sense of restraint and some sense of morality and some sense of ethics, and that's what kind of keeps people on the right track, essentially. Yep. So and not to squelch things down. So what about you? What are you thinking?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, very similar. I wrote simply, repressing reality will not make it go away.
Yeah.
So whatever thing is true and real, which is, like you said, we have light and dark. That is true and very real. Mm-hmm. If you try to, you know, repress reality or bury it or hide it, it's not going to, it's still real. It's still reality. So learning how to process it, how to manage it, how to make smart decisions, you know, even though we have instincts of positive and negative things. So repression is bad.
It is
not good. I think Tuvok and the Vulcan model here, in some ways is a good, healthy model, because the Vulcans they haven't denied the dark side.
Correct.
But they've learned ways to manage it,
control it, to keep it at bay, right?
Yeah.
In a way,
yeah.
So, but they do know that there is darkness.
They acknowledge it, absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, cool. Well, that was fun.
All right. So, thanks everyone for joining Robbie and I in reviewing Random Thoughts. Join us next week when we talk about the episode concerning flight.
Oh.
Which is interesting, because what was the name of your fan club again?
Random Flight.
Exactly. Oh, so now your fan club and concerning flight. So these two episodes are the favorite episodes of your fan club, because
back to back.
Back to back, my friend, concerning flight.
Random Thoughts and concerning flight make Random Flight.
Yes.
The Tom Paris International Fan Club.
How crazy is that? Back to back, season 4 episodes.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Okay. So thanks everybody for joining us this week for Random Thoughts rewatch and recap. And don't repress your feelings. Don't repress, you know, acknowledge the light and the dark in your life, and find healthy and good ways to manage that. That's the lesson we got this week. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll see you all next week when we review Concerning Flight.